Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, happy Thursday. The countdown is on. Christmas is just a few short days away. But until then, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a drug-free, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Kaylin?
Like a micro-through ice cream sugar.
Then check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and of course, he is Kaylin Lindmeyer, Ear Patterson, and together we are P4P Real Talk. And I am doing absolutely fantastic because I'm on vacation from now through Monday. So I am loving it. And I know Kaylin had a big day today because he was hanging out with a bunch of our natural family in Peoria and lifting weights and conducting interviews, taking pictures. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to today, Kaylin.
Well, Jake Halverson had a great idea, and it's basically during the off season, what are we doing as an outreach to the other individuals that might have an interest in natural bodybuilding, but also the ones that don't know about it? Because, you know, like you and I have talked about before on the show, is that there's plenty of people that know about natural bodybuilding and are learning, but then there's others that have no clue as to what natural bodybuilding entails, you know. And he was basically doing a get-together, a year-end get-together, that addressed basically every facet of natural bodybuilding from the up-and-comers point of view. And I was really surprised by the way he's been going at it, because, you know, Jack's a busy guy. Even though he's retired, he never really retired from that passion that he has and drive. So it's really uplifting to see, you know, how he did it. And just, you know, that basically he was setting the foundation for next year. He wasn't doing it like, this has to be the format for the whole year. Let's see how this works and see what we need to improve on, and then let's go from there. And I was just blown away by that mentality, because, you know, that's basically what we've been begging for in the natural community, is somebody that could look at something and say, okay, let's try this, but that's not the end-all, be-all of what we're trying to do. We're trying to grow the sport. And, you know, all right, guys, give me some feedback and some aspects to take and some avenues to look at as to how we can make natural bodybuilding improve. So other than work, that was the reason for the together. And I was just blown away that, he, you know, like I said, he's looking that far down the road.
Well, awesome. And I wasn't able to be there with you guys, but it sounds like it was a great outing. I'm looking forward to seeing those interviews, and I'm sure you're going to get those posted on Midwest Muscle, correct? That's where folks can be looking for them?
Yes, it's a group interview that we did, because we wanted to do a roundtable to show that everybody was in unison. And I'm saying, Jack was just ahead of the game on this one, because he didn't want any individual anything. Everything was supposed to be a group, and that's how we did the interview.
Okay, cool. Well, I will be definitely looking forward to that. And this individual that we have on the show with us tonight is another advocate for the natural bodybuilding arena, and especially in the impaired and wheelchair division. And that individual is Mr. Rory Kuntz, Jr. Rory, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. So we had you on the show back in March of this year, and you had a lot of things in the hopper at that point in time. You were just getting ready to publish your book, and then not too long after that, you had just launched a website, an online business, just all sorts of things. Can you give us an update on what you've been up to and how everything's been going?
Absolutely. I'm great. I'm always positive. Things are always moving forward. The book, however, did get pushed back, but that's only because I go through things and I want to put more things in the book, and you know, some things you take out to put more stuff in. But the book should be out in March, April at the latest. So the book is coming, definitely coming. As far as my website, thestonepowerhouse.com, I had touched on that briefly in our last conversation. That is for my personal training business, which is the Stone Powerhouse Training Systems, because I have a master's in personal training, and I also have a sports nutrition certification. So I am using my talents and my knowledge that I've gained over the years that I've been doing this to give back. Obviously, I'd rather do something as a profession that I love versus doing a 9-to-5. I've tried the 9-to-5s. You know, they didn't work. I've even tried working for other people as a trainer, and it just does not work for me. I like to set my own schedule. I like to train people properly. I like to dispel some of the rumors that are out there and the myths and all these different things. So I started my own business. The exciting thing is that in the beginning of the year, we will be going online. So I will be able to access people from all over the planet now. So you can log on to my website and you can see me. So we're doing a video streaming thing, and you can train with me that way if you can't come see me in person. So that's something that's really, I'm really excited about, because I get to get the knowledge out to more people instead of just a limited area. You know, the Delaware area is great, but I'm trying to touch the whole universe. So we're just, you know, we're moving forward. Moving forward, and I'm very excited about the things that come in the new year.
Well, that's awesome. It definitely sounds like you made a lot of progress in a lot of areas. And you know what? I think I put the cart before the horse a little bit in that I didn't even have you really introduce yourself, and we have got a whole array of new listeners that are tuning in these days. So can we take a little step back, and can you just tell folks about yourself? So we've got the business side of that, but just a little more about you personally and as a bodybuilder.
Well, my name is obviously Rory Coons Jr. I am the Stone Powerhouse, and that's, you know, that's a metaphor for mental strength, not so much physical, because your mental has to be sharp in order to make sure that everything else is sharp. You know, I live by the moniker, the impossible is possible. And that's how you get to the impossible being possible, by staying mentally sharp. Because once you're mentally sharp, you can pretty much do anything and navigate and cut through anything. You know, my theme for 2017 is come get katana blade sharp. And as you know, katana blade cuts through everything. So that's what we're doing this year. We're cutting through everything. Everything mental, everything physical, challenges, what have you. We're just cutting through it all. We're cutting through it all. I am the natural Mr. Olympia. Let's see, what else about me? There's so many things. I've competed in just about every sport you can think of, because I constantly want to push myself to new heights. Growing up, I always seen everybody else push their limits, but being a person with cerebral palsy, I've never seen anybody push the limits of that. It's always been a quote-unquote normal body. So that's why I've competed in been gracious enough and fortunate enough and blessed enough to win in just about everything that I've ever competed in. Like I said, the list is very high, but skeet shooting, baseball, basketball, bowling, hockey, amateur wrestling, eskrima, which is a Filipino fighting art, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, I could talk all day about the stuff that I've competed in, but it's not really so much about me as it is just to inspire. Because I really, no matter what I do, I really want to put that message out there that the impossible is possible. I want to be an inspiration for people to look at so they can do whatever they thought was impossible. So at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's bigger than me. I'm just a vessel. And that's pretty much what it is. That's pretty much what it is.
Well, that's enough. Honestly, that's enough. And hey, I'm glad that you talk about the mental aspect of it, because we do have to mentally challenge ourselves in order to be physically prepared. Because if we don't, then, you know, basically there's no direction and there's no foundation. So when you're helping the people that you're talking about helping or trying to reach, what are the avenues you're using to make that format happen?
Sometimes I do motivational speaking. I plan on doing a lot more of that in 2017 as well, so be on the lookout for that. I'm training people, obviously. Or sometimes, funny enough, it's just having a conversation with a person. You'd be surprised how many times I am out and about just doing random things, whether it be on a bus or on a shopping trip, and just having a conversation with a person. Because you never know what a person is going through at any given moment. So just to be there and, you know, let them know that it's going to be okay, or anything just as simple as that, you know, that's rewarding. And then obviously from there we get into a conversation. Conversation normally goes, well, do you mind if I ask you how you got in the chair? And we talk about it, and I tell them, you know, I was born with cerebral palsy. I weighed 1 pound, 13 ounces. And, you know, they say, wow, you're not so small anymore. And I say, no. And they say, well, how'd you get there? And that, you know, for a person to walk away and be inspired by that, you know, I've done what I was supposed to do in that day. You know, every day I wake up and I want to, you know, do positive things. So if I just reach one person, just one, I'm good. Whether it's something I post on social media, whether it's a client I'm training, whether it be in a different state than the state that I'm in, whether it be just a conversation at a person in a grocery store. I talk to people that work the register. Just the other day, I actually held up a registry line, and I apologize, but the young lady and myself got into a whole conversation because she wanted to know how I got into the chair. And I explained it just thinking that, you know, it was a normal, everyday conversation. Turns out she knew who I was, so she wanted to know more about me. So,
okay,
you know, we held up the line a little bit. The people behind me were very, very gracious. I mean, it wasn't that long of a conversation. It was probably 2-3 minutes, but you know, it's things like that I really, those make my day. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what headspace I'm in, to be able to encourage somebody else to go on keeps me moving, you know? So my message to people that, because I get it all the time, I get from all over the world, I get messages, all kinds of fan mail, everything. I have people that hit me on Messenger at like 3 a.m., not realizing that whatever country they're in, it might be a certain time zone, but for me, it's 3 a.m. and I normally should be sleeping by that time. I mean, my schedule, I would say I probably stay up to about 3 a.m. every day. And that's because either I'm preparing meal plans for people or I'm answering questions. And I don't mind doing it because, again, the whole thing is to inspire. And, you know, it's not even about me. It's about God, really. I mean, let's be real.
Amen.
Right? Right? So But if I'm able to be used as that vessel to bring somebody to that, then I'm good. I've done what I was supposed to do, and everything is cool. No matter what I'm going through, there's always a smile on my face because I've done what I'm supposed to do. And it really is that simple.
You know, and giving back, I mean, it really is, it is an important part of, I think, what it is that we do as athletes when you can. And I have to say, in the natural community, you do see a lot of that, and that makes me very proud to be a part of and associated with something where there are so many giving people that are looking to help better those people around them. And in doing that, we only improve our own game, right? Which is exactly what you're saying there. So, you know, I'm glad. And I just say, you know, keep it up. Keep it up for sure.
Hey, Des.
And in part,
I got to intercede for a second because
okay.
This actually segues our interview so well. So if anybody wants to really hear this personified, just listen in the group discussion, the amount of people that are saying exactly what we're talking about right now. I'm just so blessed right now that Rory brought that up because that's big, like Des was saying, in the natural community where it's not enough to compete. It's not enough to be fit. There's always that longing to help others, and I'm really glad that everybody's touching on that today. That's a testimony, and basically that's a good format to have for anybody or any organization or any business where the people matter, and I'm glad you guys are bringing that up.
Definitely. People always matter, and people should come first. So, again,
absolutely.
I'm just glad that we have so many of those kinds of people in the circles that we run in. So I encourage everyone to keep it up. It's a good thing, and it just speaks well of, you know, of natural athletes all over the place. And not to say
right.
that, you know, all athletes don't run in those kinds of circles too, but I'm just proud of our circle that we happen to be in. So,
yeah.
So that's awesome. I'm switching gears. I want to touch you back on the competitive side of Rory Kunsch Jr. and just bring us up to speed on what you've been up to, because I know you've been on stage this year, but I don't necessarily know how everything has been going for you on that front.
Absolutely. Last time we spoke, I was talking about defending my Natural Mr. Olympia championship at this year's past Natural Mr. Olympia. The funny thing, though, is I didn't actually think that I was going to compete. Not because I wasn't in shape, not because I couldn't get in shape, but because I obviously started a business, and when you're running a business, that takes a lot of time from how you would want to train, and all of these different kinds of things. It wasn't really a dieting or a nutrition thing because I eat like that year-round.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it was for me. But I decided maybe about 3 months before the show that I actually was going to make my way to Vegas and put it on the line. Vegas was interesting. Interesting is the word that comes to mind. Just to catch everybody up to speed, I took second place, which was cool. The reason why I say it was interesting is that there were a couple of surprises that were a little unexpected. It was advertised that a fellow competitor of mine, Ryan Smith, and I were going to compete. It was talked about all year round. And so that's what I assumed that it was going to be. However, the morning before the show, a competitor by the name of Naveed Butt showed up from Pakistan. And what made it so interesting is not that he showed up and competed, because that's his right. What made it interesting was he was not at registration. I had to be there Thursday for registration. He wasn't at registration. We didn't see him during the mandatory testing. This guy just kind of popped up, and nobody knew about it till I'd say about 15 minutes before we were to step on stage. So I found that very interesting. However, I mean, it is what it is. And when we got on stage, you go to do your quarter turns. This gentleman got out of his chair. Me and my fellow competitor were not allowed to do that. So that made things a little slightly, what's the word I'm looking for? Interesting. We're just going to stick with the word interesting. Because as they called for a side chest, and I'm going to do my turn, my competitor can't turn because I can't turn because this person's chair is blocking me from turning, and he's over here on the floor. So that was the first thing that was very, very interesting. Because it didn't seem like it was, I don't want to use the word fair, but right now that's what comes to my mind. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, we are doing one thing, and this is what I understood the rules of engagement to be. And it turns out that this person was able to do a whole nother thing. But you just kind of, you're there in the moment, so you just kind of let it ride. I'm not going to speak on who I feel really won. I don't feel that is appropriate. The people know. I know, but I'm not going to, because I'm not one of those people that like to speak about people in a negative light. But what I will say is this. The whole situation just seems very foreign. And it was almost like a dream. Because we came back for the evening show, and everybody's performing their routines, and then after you perform your routine, you know, you go to the side of the stage, and they bring everybody else up, and they're doing the medal presentation. And I have to tell you, when they gave me that second place medal, my mind was somewhere else. If you actually look at the videotape, which that's the other thing, for some reason it's not available to be viewed. It has been blocked.
What?
Yeah, but that's a whole other issue. The tape is not to be, it can't be viewed. Like I said, this year's Natural Mr. Olympia was just weird. Very weird and very far. But it was almost like, this isn't what I ordered. Like, they literally had to put the medal on my neck. Not because I lost. And for everybody listening, I don't want them to misunderstand me. It wasn't about the loss, because I can deal with that. It's about the way in which it went down that bothers me. And at this point, I can say that it bothers me. When it first originally happened, I was very, very angry. I was very, very upset. I'm not going to lie to anybody about that. I was very upset. But again, it was the way in which it went down. Because if it's going to be fair, It should be fair all across the board. Every last one of the athletes that ever stepped on that stage worked very, very hard. Very, very hard. And it should just be fair. It's not about, oh, well, I lost, so I'm going to cry and whine and complain. It's just fair treatment. Fair and just treatment. So,
That's all you can ask. You know, I was thinking about, like you said, with the other sports that I've been able to compete in my life, where, you know, I can remember we had a school teacher that had transferred to a different school, but he was still a referee, and he felt obligated to not make calls that would have been correct, because he didn't want to seem like he was pulling for our team because he was a referee that used to be a teacher at our school. And I said, well, how can that be fair or even remotely correct or right if you know it's a foul and you're not calling? And he didn't have an answer, but I said, you know, we almost lost that game, and we had to work twice as hard for the same game that the other team is playing with less effort. And I said, well, you know, this stings. You know, he's like, well, you guys won. And I said, well, what does that matter if the whole feeling of competing is knowing you're competing fairly or correctly? I can't imagine cheating and thinking that's a competition. Or, you know, I'm not referring to what you're talking about as cheating, but I'm saying in my heart, if my heart's not in it, I don't feel like it's a true competition the way it's supposed to be mapped out. And I think that's what you're getting at. You know, it's not that, like you said, you know, you were getting a second-place trophy. It seems more like the issue was, if this isn't the criteria that I was, you know, getting myself prepared for, and I think everybody else is preparing for, why is this criteria come show day? And if it was, why didn't I get the memo?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it does sound, and sticking with the language of interest, being that if one athlete was allowed to get out of this chair, I mean, you all should have been notified of the option that you would be able to do that prior to stepping on stage. And then in him doing that, you weren't able to properly execute your mandatory. So
that does seem
very strange. I mean, interesting, I guess. I mean, I really don't have words for that. And especially at that show and that level, that some kind of disconnect like that would happen just seems very out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it was very strange. But in hindsight, after being mad, I got dressed, I went downstairs, I did what I was supposed to do, you know. I showed my face, I shook my hands, I did everything I was supposed to do. That Sunday morning, they had the annual breakfast. Still feeling kind of, not bummed, but perplexed. Because I'm still trying to wrap my mind around how all of this transpired. Because it just seems like I said, it seems like a dream. It didn't seem like it was real. And it seemed a little bit unjust because we work hard to be...
Oh, that's an
the condition that we were in. I know I certainly did. And I only had about, I'd say about 8 weeks prep. And I was in better shape than I was the year prior. So I certainly put in that work in that short amount of time. But it was just weird. But
it
No, I was just saying that, you know, that morning I got the opportunity to sign at least 100 to 200 autographs, because I was on the poster from the previous year. So, It was a moral victory. Because, again, like I was talking about earlier, no matter what I'm going through, it's always something that will remind me that everything is cool. Everything is cool. I'm the kind of person that when you come up to me and you're like, I want your autograph, I'm like, why you want my autograph? Like, yes, I've won all these championships. Yes, I've been in Muscle and Fitness twice. Yes, I've been on ABC News. Yes, I've done all of these things. But it's just like, my autograph? I'm just me. That's just the way I am. So to have that many people stand in line and want me to sign something for them, kids, adults, my fellow athletes, that was more valuable to me than the championship.
Mm-hmm.
At that point,
well,
the championship did not matter.
And again, getting back to where you started at earlier in the show, I mean, it really is about how what you're doing and the attitude that you bring to it that motivates, you know, so many other people to aspire to do, you know, more things, especially those individuals who are disabled and are wheelchairs. You know, you're just showing them more and more that, you know, you can do it if you want to, if you put your mind to it. And I know I'm oversimplifying, but in the big picture, that's really, really what it boils down to. And even our listeners that we have tonight, I mean, they are wanting to know, and if you could repeat it for us, how they can get a hold of you so that if they do want to make that connection to be able to train with you, you know, how can they reach you?
Absolutely. You can reach me on any one of my social media platforms, which my Twitter is at The Stone Power. My Instagram is The Stone Powerhouse. My website, thestonepowerhouse.com. You can definitely reach me there. You can reach me on Facebook at The Stone Powerhouse. You can go to my business page on Facebook, which is The Stone Powerhouse Training Systems. So I'm readily available. I will answer any questions. If there's anybody out there that just wants to train, I can do that. You just want to have a meal plan, we can do that. If you want me to train you for a show, we can definitely do that. So, you know, just hit me up. Questions, business, we can talk about it all. I'm very easygoing. I'm very open. And as you can see, I'm very transparent about who I am and what things are. So, yeah.
Very cool. Now, I mean, I imagine maybe sometimes you might get a little bit of this, but I know if it popped in my head, it probably popped into other people's heads as well. I mean, so you've got a master's in personal training. You know the body well, you know nutrition, but do you ever run across folks sometime that are like, you know what, you're in a wheelchair. You can't necessarily experience everything that I'm going to experience as a walking person. You know, what is it about your coaching style that helps people, like, overcome maybe some of those just minor doubts of you being able to meet all of their needs, you know, being an upright individual with operational legs?
That's a good question. I'm going to answer the question like this. First, I'm going to answer it by posing the question. And that is this. Does a trainer need to run with you while you go on your run? The answer is obviously no, because you're able to run. So what then would make a person feel like just because I'm not upright, I can't do my job? Also, on the flip side of that, while I may not experience everything that a person who stands experiences, they also will never experience the things that I experience. You know, I'm not going to say that it's easy for a person to get up and go about their day, but they take certain things for granted, like the fact that they may or may not be sore in the morning when they wake up. They can get into a car and just take off whenever they feel like it. They can, they don't have to plan their schedule around a 5-hour block because they have to spend money to get on a bus to come back and forth. There's so many different things that a person who has a disability deals with on a regular basis that people that don't will never understand. That's cool. It wasn't meant for you to understand it, obviously. That's why you're not in that position. But when it comes to my job, my legs, they don't have anything to do with me being just as passionate. They don't have anything to do with my brain being just as knowledgeable. They don't have anything to do with my brain, with my body and my physique, obviously, because no one created my physique except for me. That's why it's mine. You know what I'm saying? So that would be my response. Also, I'd like to say that because I'm in this chair, it has allowed me to think outside the box and figure things out and do things that other people may not think about. You know, I used to say that your job as a champion is to be able to figure out different ways to accomplish your goal. But then I thought about it. That's been my everyday life because I've always got to figure out a different way or a better way. Sometimes it's a better way. Sometimes because of the way I do things and the fact that I have to sit down while doing them, where a person might be able to cheat a little bit because they can sway with their legs back and forth and they can move their hips and they've got all these different things that come into play, I don't. Because I don't have that option. So it's like when you step in front of whatever it is, however heavy it is or whatever, you either pick it up or you don't. And it really becomes a mental thing because your body is not made like everybody else's body. So it's like, all right, you're not doing this. But in your head, you're like, I am doing this. And that's that dog fight. That's that real dog fight. That's when you really know what you're made of, is the best way I can describe. Because you have to be able to tell your body, okay, this is what we're doing. When naturally your body fights against you because it's in the condition that it's in. So you want to talk about mental strength and really overcoming? That's a everyday thing for somebody in my position, somebody that has a worse disposition than me. So that would be my response to that. Yes, I'm not upright like you, but trust me, I have just as much heart, if not more, than you do. Because I don't get to sit and go, okay, well, I'm going to get my car today, or I'm not going to the gym today because it's snowing. I don't get that option. I have to wheel them around these streets. And, you know, sometimes I'm going 10 and 20 blocks. So once I get to where I'm going, I have to get back because nobody's going to come along and say to me, all right, well, yeah, let me put you in my car. That's not my life. That's not the way it goes. So once I'm out there, I'm out there. So, yeah. I mean, you know, that's what it is.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that answer. I really do, because it's well thought out, and it is a challenge, you know, and I think if you're helping somebody get to the next level, you've already got to be either prepared to go to that next level already, or you already had to have been there mentally, because that's what makes the difference, you know, because if people are at the same level, then basically it's a shared existence. But if there's teaching and training involved, honestly, the person has to know more. I mean, it's that simple. It's not. And I like the way Lauryn Hill had said it, and I got to go to this lady, because she did a statement that really kind of blew me away. She said, everybody has an equal opportunity to learn, but some people learn sooner or had the opportunity to learn sooner or just had the opportunity altogether. And it's the onus falls on us after that learning of what we do with it. Either we can be selfish and hold it to ourselves, or we can share it and help others. And I think it all depends, like Rory was saying, on where your heart is and how hard you're willing to push yourself. It's how, you know, basically how hard you can get others to move. Because if they see that you're ready to go there, then it's a lot easier for them. I love the answer that you gave. And I love Dez asking it, because, you know, it's real talk. Let's be honest. It's real talk. And if we're going to help anybody, we have to be able to deal with some real, real questions. And I just love that you guys are doing this. This is wonderful. So, Rory, one of the other things that I'd like to touch on, you know, is that as a competitor, you know, you're faced with challenges of your own, you know, and that's, you know, like even just to get to the stage itself, because some of these venues aren't designed with you in mind.
Kaylin, you're my guy. I'm glad you brought that up. it is so funny that you brought that up. That I faced this year in Vegas. As you know, we go down to the Villa. Now, my hotel room was on one side, so I had to get in the elevator, go down to the lobby, go all the way through the casino, and it was one hill, then it was another hill, then it was another one. It was about 5 or 6 hills before actually getting to the conference room that the event was being held in. So you want to talk about being low on carbs, okay? You want to talk about being dried and peeled, and then having to muster. Doing all of that, and I was in Vegas by myself. I got on the plane from Delaware. I went to Vegas. I did everything dolo, okay? So there was nobody to be like, oh, well, let me push you. No, I'm low on carbs. I'm tired. I'm depleted. I'm dry. And I'm doing extra cardio just to get to. So I'm glad you brought that up. And for those of people who are in a wheelchair, who aren't in wheelchairs and don't realize, just to wheel this thing around, you are constantly working out.
Yes.
You've got biceps that come into play. You've got triceps when you're backing up. You've got shoulders, chest, okay? So I was constantly working out those 4 days that I was in Vegas. While still going to the gym to burn some extra water and everything else. So yeah, I'm definitely glad that you brought that up.
All for the love of the sport. All for the love of the sport. I mean, and granted, it's you're right. There are a lot of things that we don't think about. And I'm trying to find the words for what I'm trying to say here. But, you know, I'm still glad that even though it's not all I guess, unicorns, rainbows, and butterflies, that you still find the value in it to do what it is that you love and be good at it and pursue it with all the passion that you have. So, I mean, again, it's just another motivating factor to it all. So you competed this year. You got the second place. You got that. But it sounds like you're back on your bike. What are you looking to pursue in 2017? We know the book's coming out in March. Your business still growing. Any other competitions in your sights? Are you taking a break? You're gearing up for something else?
As of right now, and this is funny because I've been asked this question a few times since, Vegas was over. Are you coming back? What are you doing? Are you leaving the sport? Please don't quit. I'm not quitting. Let me make that perfectly clear. I am not quitting. You will see me on stage again. How soon? I do not know. I am focused on everything else that I've got going on now. Like I mentioned, I love bodybuilding, but bodybuilding is, life goes on after bodybuilding. I've got a business I'm running. I've got a book I'm putting out. Life goes on. I've got family. Like, I haven't, and I probably should be saying this, but I haven't been in the gym since the show.
Oh, my.
I have decided to take a break from my dieting and just eat whatever I want and spend time with my family, because people that are not in this sport don't realize how much we sacrifice as a competitor, but also our families and our loved ones. They sacrifice a lot too.
Yes,
mm-hmm. They have to put up with a lot. And most oftentimes it's time. They don't get that time because I can't go do certain things in certain places because I've got to prep, or I can only eat this at this time, or I'm in the gym 3 and 4 hours at a time. So I have decided to take the time to enjoy my family. But I will say this. When I step on stage again, I'm coming back with a vengeance. I will say that. They say that, things either are going to break you or they're going to make you stronger. All this did was awaken a beast that you should have left asleep. That's it. It did not break me. So when I do step on stage, I would be worried about everybody else, not me. Yeah, be on the lookout, because in 2017 I am stepping on the stage. It will be announced on my social media. I definitely want to do some things before going back to the Natural Mr. Olympia. But if my my friend that happened to win this year is listening, we've got some unfinished business we need to attend to. So I hope you have been thrown down. I hope you
very
come.
Good.
Don't show up the day of the show. I want you to come. We got some unfinished business. But that's that. I'm enjoying my family. I'm enjoying my business. I'm enjoying helping people. Right? Because, I said, as much as I love bodybuilding, it's a small portion of my life. And that's why, even though I was upset after the show, I was upset for maybe a few hours, because my life goes on after that. Even if I was to stay upset, life still goes on.
Exactly.
I still had a business I had to come back and run.
Yeah.
I still had a book I had to finish. I still had time to spend with my family, my wonderful girlfriend. life goes on. So that's that. But definitely pay attention in 2017, because Katana Blade Sharp is the new movement, and that's what we're doing. I'm cutting through everything in 2017.
Well, there you go.
All right. Well, we're gonna be watching for that for sure. I know one of the things that you're not going to be cutting are all the people who have been supporters of yours all the way, all along the way, and would love to give you exactly. So I want to give you a chance here to give some shout outs to some folks before we bid our farewells.
Oh man, it's I can't even. There's so many people that I don't even know, you know, except for on a first-name basis. But definitely my family. I mean, my girlfriend, she's wonderful. She's absolutely just, like, the greatest thing ever, biggest support. You know, she helps put on my tanner and all kinds of stuff, puts up with my mild grouchiness when I'm hungry. my mom, huge support. My brother, who is, I'm going to say, younger. He's not so little anymore. He's 18. He hates when I say that. I'm 28. We're actually 10 years and 10 days apart exactly. So, like I said, he hates when I say that, though. So I'm going to say younger. But I'm definitely proud of him. He's out here. He's working. He's doing good things. My grandmother, who is absolutely a second mother, and is so much of a kindred spirit to me. We're just alike. You know, I have her calm side. I have my mother's rowdy side. All of that's mixed in there. like I said, it's just so many people. All of my instructors. My gym family at the Training Center Gym in Newcastle, Delaware. My family over at Balance Strength Fitness Center in Wilmington. I love each and everybody. I've got nothing but love for everybody who's listening to this interview and who's going to listen to this interview and play it back after it's over. Like I said, it's just so many people, because it's the people that I know, the people that I don't know, the people I have yet to meet that I'm going to enjoy meeting. So it's so many people. I can't even begin to tell you how grateful I am. You know, the one thing that I always want to do is I always want to stay humble. And every time somebody comes up to me and they just say, you know, wow. And I've had that happen. It's like, wow, what is wow? Because I don't see myself a lot of times the way people see me, or they're inspired by me. But it's just, you guys have no idea how much that helps me. Because there's days where I'm tired. There's days where my knees hurt. There are, you know, there's days where I'm in the gym 2 and 3 hours at a time, and then I've still got to wheel home. So I'm still getting a workout. Or I've got to wheel to the store and grocery shop. So I'm still getting a workout. You know, you guys, man, even down to you and Caleb, you guys have no idea how much you guys inspire me and how much you guys keep me going. I read Caleb's posts all the time. I read his posts all the time. I'm always watching what you're doing. Brother, you know, thank you. Thank you for everything that you say. It means a lot. If nobody else tells you, I'm going to tell you. It means a lot. So, like I said, with that being said, there's just too many names to name right now. But just thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rory. Thanks for all you shared with us tonight and you know, and all of your sentiments. I mean, we appreciate it, and I hope our listeners are taking it to heart, too, that you know, they do play a role. You know, a lot of times we talk about our guests and how they inspire the people around them, but I'm glad that you point out that, you know, the people on the other end that reach back to you, how motivational that is to the athletes that we have on the show as well, or, you know, just people around you. It's like you said, giving back, you know, sharing energy, giving energy, taking it in. I mean, it comes full circle. So thank you. Want to wish you a very blessed holiday season. And, when that book finally comes out, let us know, because we want to let folks know about it. And, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, and just good luck with all of it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wow. I bet you didn't expect that, did you, Kaylin?
Not at all. I mean, I'm, wow. I, you notice I just kind of shut up real quick, and I had no words.
You were rendered speechless. That doesn't happen.
No, not too often.
Not in a bad way. I'm not picking at you, but I'm just saying, you always are a man of many words. So there you go. So people are watching. They've got their eye on you.
I see. And, you know, it's funny because this is something else that we spoke on in the interview for Midwest Muscle. Is that, you know, and like Rory was talking about, on the bad days, people are still watching. You know, and I've made some posts about this, you know, segue to what he was talking about earlier, about how, you know, on the good days, we have that look at me attitude. But then when things go wrong, it's like, you know, don't look. I won't make a pass. I won't make a pose because I don't look so good. And, you know, even to the point of, you know, when you're working out on those bad days, well, don't video this because, you know, it's not a good day for video. I'm saying every day, because people need to know that, like you said, everything's not unicorns, rainbows, and roses. We have to be, I mean, it shouldn't be just real talk. It should be real life. And I think that's what social media, even though it's social sometimes, it's antisocial. Because it's not the real us. It's basically, on my best day, this is what I do. On my worst day, what happens then? Because that's what the listeners are asking. That's what our family's asking. You know, because it shouldn't be, well, this is what I do, like he said, on the days when he doesn't want to be here. That's the champion.
Yep.
Because he still shows up. And you do the same thing. And everybody else that we've had on the show does the same thing. On the bad days, can we still show up? And I think that's what it comes down to with that mental aspect that he was driving home and what he was saying. Can we still show up in life when things aren't rosy, when things aren't rainbows, when it's that worse rain-driven hail, sleet, you know, dent in your car type stuff? Can you still be that person that you claim? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we got prospects, you know, like in the old gold mining days where you think you're digging for gold, but when it comes time where you don't have a good spot that you're digging, can you still step up and show up and find another place that's really more beneficial to what you're digging for? And I'm really hoping that the listeners understand that, you know, even with this show, we've had times where there's technical difficulties, but we don't say, let's cancel the show. It's, let's figure out a way to make this work. And I think that's what drives a lot of people in P4P, and thank God we've all fallen under that umbrella, but then we can enlighten the people that don't have that umbrella to get under. And I think that's where we make the difference.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. I think that's an awesome note to end on. Everyone, I hope... Snickerdoodle, and I hope that when it comes down to it, in your stockings, that you get what it takes, that on those bad days, you know, you're still able to show up, and it might be snickerdoodle chocolate.
Even if it don't fit.
On behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P, your body is a temple. Let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.